The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and welcome along to William Hill's Racing Podcast. We're going to look ahead to Tuesday's racing on this edition, and you'll hear it all live on Racing Radio from 1:50pm with Dave Kellner, Dale Gibson and Darren Owen in the studio. Carlisle, Pontefract and Southwell are the three meetings, so plenty to look forward to. My name is Mark Walton, and joining me in the studio to look ahead to the action is Mick Norton. How are you, Mick?
Yes, good, thank you, Mark.
Good. Right, we're going to start with the Monday jury, as we usually do on this edition of the Racing Podcast, and then we'll move on to Tuesday's racing as well. But before we get to that, Mick, it was a great national issue, wasn't it? I mean, it was safe in the respect that none of the horses were injured, or we didn't see any of the negative side of the national, but it was also a bit more like the old ones with plenty of drama along the way as well.
It certainly was, and you know, to my eye, those fences looked as though they took a lot more jumping this time around than they did 12 months ago.
Yeah.
Valentine's in particular.
Yeah.
The big ditch, number three, which has always been a very formidable obstacle. I just thought the whole track did look more of a jumping test than it had been. And not many horses jumped well in the race, including the winner.
Made a couple of mistakes on the way around.
Yeah, there weren't that many who jumped well without making the odd jumping error or two. And, it was a good national, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Except if you give me another 10 goes, I mean, seeing the race, I probably wouldn't pick the winner.
I'd agree with that as well, yeah. I don't think I'd have found him. I still wouldn't find him now.
No. But
that's the good thing about the national, isn't it? It's more like it's the ultimate jumping test, and it's not too easy anymore, but it's still safe.
Yeah.
And you still get them surprises, which we used to get as well.
So. Absolutely, yeah. And amazing, isn't it? How the festival form stood up so well.
Indeed,
I mean, the winner was third in the Potemps final. The second won the cross country. Giving the cross country race a good fill at that, won't it? You know, a lot of people look down their noses at it, don't they? But Balthazar King, he's an absolute legend, isn't he?
He is.
Would have been great to see him win it. But he's run his heart out. He's one of the few horses in the race I thought jumped well, but which you would expect him to, wouldn't you? Being as adept as he is around the cross country circuit, but it was a good national. My sort of interest departed early when Long Run decided he thought it was a hurdle race and decided not to get very high at Valentine's first time, which was a big mistake.
Yeah. Yeah, if you're going to pick a fence not to get very high, don't do it at Valentine's.
Exactly.
Yeah, I was glad to see Balthazar King run his race because I backed him in the national last year thinking that being a good performer of the Banks courses and races like that, he'd jump well and he'd stay well. He didn't run his race last year. This year he did, so I was glad to see him actually run his race in the national, which was nice. But take nothing away from the winner, though. He won fairly nicely in the end, didn't he?
Yes, and an 11-year-old French bred, so much for these
regressive French breds.
Exactly, yes.
Yeah, the first question of the Monday jury surrounds the winner. Could Pinot de Rey become the first horse since Red Rum to win consecutive Grand Nationals? I mean, he won well enough in the end, Mick, but to emulate Red Rum at the age of 11 is going to be difficult, isn't it?
He's going to be 12 next year, isn't he? And I think he might follow that unfortunate pattern. His first visit over the big fences ended up in a fall, didn't it?
Yeah.
I think he jumped round this year, got away with it by the skin of his teeth. I think if he went back next year, he wouldn't get round.
Okay. So you don't think he can emulate Red Room?
No.
Fair enough. Are you interested in anything else that ran in Saturday's race for next year?
I think of the sort of horses who finished close up, Double Seven would probably be only be nine next year.
Yeah.
That was a very satisfactory run. Made a few little niggly mistakes, but I learnt plenty from that. And I think the great thing about it, in a race full of non-stayers on Saturday, he was at least running on at the end. So I think they could bring him back with a lot of confidence.
The fact that the ground probably didn't suit him either. Having spoken to McCoy in the morning, he was saying that any rain would be against the horse. So if you get a dry, like a good ground national next year, I think that'll be up his street.
Yeah, Alvarado, he's only 10 next year. He came from a long way back, typical Paul Maloney ride around there. Just gets them round, doesn't he, Paul? And he's always second, third or fourth. He will win one of these days, I think. But Alvarado could come back next year. Rocky Creek rang well. He was made a lot of use of. I think if he's going to win a national... I mean, don't forget, it was only about his eighth or ninth run over fences, that.
Eighth, I think it was, yeah.
Was it?
I think so, yeah.
It did appear to be an on-stayer, but that could have been because he was ridden so aggressively. Now, if he was given a sort of a patient ride and just dropped in a bit, maybe like the old-fashioned nationals used to be, hunt them round for a circuit and then ride a race in the second circuit, I could see Rocky Creek being a player. And I don't think we can leave the national without paying credit to Katie Walsh for getting Vespa Bell round. I don't know how on earth she did it. I mean, it started at Beaches first time and she was badly hampered. How she kept the partnership intact, I don't know. Then he went on and thumped one or two more and still came there with a chance at the Mellon Road. But, you know, he could go back next year. He's only going to be nine next year. They may well, because he did come to entry before. They came for the Topham Trophy and I think he fell at the first. So they've obviously got it in their heads that he's an entry type horse. Now he's had that experience at that national. If Willie decides to train him for the race next year, he could be interesting with that experience under his belt.
Okay, then a few to possibly follow next year. Then,
but don't back non-stayers in the national because they won't win it.
Yeah, that's fair enough. Yeah, did Silvaniaco Conti's Betfred Brawl's success enhance his claims for next year's Gold
Cup? He's another Florida Pearl and wayward lad, isn't he? He's a good, top-class 3-miler, King George horse.
Yep,
but he's not going to win a Gold Cup.
Yep, I'd agree with that. I think it shows as well that he's run two disappointing races in the Gold Cup. All his best successes have come on flat tracks.
Yeah.
And his stamina, I mean, he's determined and stays on. But then if he's on a flat track, he can do that. If you then send him to Cheltenham, I think it just wears him down a little bit.
It's just the same as those other two horses. Florida Pearl couldn't win a Gold Cup. He didn't get up the hill. Wayward Lad didn't get up the hill. Brilliant, obviously, 3-mile flat tracks. But that's it. End of story, really.
Just not his race, yeah.
No. Plenty more races for him, though, aren't there?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. He's going to get some big prize along. I mean, he'd be up there in the King George again, I imagine, and races like that. So, would you even bother taking him to the Gold Cup, Mick, if he was yours?
Probably not. No. I'd probably wait for this.
Yeah. Okay. Are the bookmakers right in making the new one favourite for the champion hurdle?
No, I don't think it was as unlucky as people made him out to be. You know, he had plenty of time to recover from that mistake, and I think he wants a bit further myself these days. But maybe he'll be there or thereabouts, won't he? But it'll be the same story next year, won't it? No, I don't think he's a champion hurdler.
Okay. What was the most eye-catching novice performance at Aintree?
There was a few, weren't there? I think the horse that won the first race on Saturday, Black Fontana, he's only five. He's going to be 6 years old next year. I just wonder if Paul Nicholls might think he's got another big bucks on his hands there. Further he goes, the better he'll go. And I think he was probably... don't get me wrong, there was plenty of good novice performances, Bowler Success, etc. But he was particularly eye-catching, I thought, with a view to the future. And I was absolutely thrilled with Guitar Pete. It didn't go exactly according to plan. I mean, Ross and I were plotting this race up and we thought 2-mile flat track, travels the best horse in the race, travelled the best horse in the Triumph, right to the last hurdle. He travelled the worst horse in the race at Aintree until 50 yards from the line. I couldn't believe he won it.
Yeah.
I missed the race. I had to go to hospital and I'd sort of got it on the Channel 4 Plus One thing.
Yeah.
And I said to my good lady, I said, I backed this thing. Let's just see how we did it. And even though I knew he'd won, I would have been tearing my ticket up 2 hours. I just couldn't believe the performance. Quite incredible.
Yeah.
And he's a proper horse, Guitar Pete, isn't he? He's tough as old boots, and you just don't know when to get the bottom of him. So I think, you know, Desi could have another good horse on his hands there. He's just... amazing performance.
Yeah,
it really was.
Okay, what did you make of the two most popular answers in the Monday jury, Boulder Success and Holywell?
Well, Holywell's just an incredible horse. You never think he's going to win, do you? He's never travelling with any fluency until where it matters, is he?
Yeah.
But all of a sudden there he is surging away, 3-4 lengths clear, after looking going the worst of the lot. And he just always should never know where to get the bottom of.
Yeah.
He could well be a Gold Cup horse next year, couldn't he?
Yeah, I mean, that would be some improvement, wouldn't it? To where he started this year, the handicap wouldn't even give him a mark after three runs of offences.
You just wouldn't know where you wouldn't ever get to the bottom of him. I'd like to see him close up after a race and just see how much he's taken out of himself, because he never appears to be exerting himself at all.
Yeah, and Boulder success, Mick. I think we've put him in the Queen Mother Champion Chase betting.
Definitely. Yeah. He just keeps doing it when it matters, doesn't he? And he finds that bit extra. I think he's a proper horse.
Yeah. Well, do you think they'd take him to Cheltenham next year? I mean, they avoided it this year, didn't they, to wait for Aintree? Do you think the plan would change next year if he's good enough to be in the Queen Mother?
I think they might be tempted if it was a wide open Queen Mother again.
Yeah.
I would think they might be tempted. Now they've got this big one under their belt. Well, yeah. Why not?
Exactly, yeah. If the chance is there, why not? The final question of this week's Monday, Jory. What could be done to prevent the perennial problem of the national start?
Yeah. Do away with the tape. We don't need a tape. Just get them back off of the line. And they don't cross that line until the starter says okay, and if it's 25 yards back, there should be no problems. You don't need a tape now for 40 horses. No. It's asking for trouble. And
it was the tape that caused the problem.
Of course it was. Yeah, and it invariably is. You don't need a tape. I don't know why they bother with tapes for jumps races, full stop. They're an anachronism. Just don't need them anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And what's wrong with the flag start?
Exactly.
You know where the starting line is, just stay behind it until I say go. How difficult is that?
It shouldn't be, should it?
No.
It should be easier. Anyway, that's the Monday jury for another week. And now we'll move on to this week's action. We're going to look at Tuesday's racing. And it's the first fixture at Pontefract we're going to look at.
Yeah, Ponte Carlo back.
Yeah, so we'll move on to that in just a second.
William Hill Racing Radio. From the first race until the last, it's everything to give you the inside track.
Right then, the first fixture at Pontefract this season. Mick's picked out three races on the card there. Are you looking forward to Pontefract, Mick? Is it a course you enjoy going to?
I haven't been for a long time, but it's a course I was quite lucky at. I do like course form there. Mm. So, you know, I like getting my teeth into Pontefract races.
Okay, good stuff. The first race is the 210, and this is a Class 5 handicap of a mile, and 14 of them in the lineup, Mick. Good to see a nice competitive race to start with. But is Life and Time going to be the one to beat in this?
He's going to be hard to beat, isn't he? Mm. He's with his third trainer. He started life with Godolphin and Zerouni, Al Zerouni. Then he went to John Ferguson, and now he's ended up with Mark Johnson. He's sort of been a late burner, hasn't he?
Mm.
But he's certainly taken off the last twice. He's only two Polytrack starts, and one of them included that demolition job at Wolverhampton on Saturday night. And I don't think the £6 penalty is going to stop him here in Class 5. He looks better than a Class 5 horse, and he's going to be very, very hard to beat. And he's got enough turf form to back it up as well. So, I think Life and Times is going to be very hard to beat. Others to consider, Ishikawa. His mark, actually, is lower on the turf than it is on the all-weather. He's very consistent on the turf, but 1 from 13, I think, tells you the story. And he looks more of a place project on the pro market. This is his first run here at Pontefract, but was a close third off a mark of 82 at Wolverhampton last time we saw him in Class 4 company. So he's got to be respected, and I think he would be a really good pro market place bet. The enigma that is Baron Brook runs, and if every horse gets followed over the cliff, it's him. He's got an awful draw. He's coming back from a long break, but he's getting well handicapped. But, I mean, we've been saying that for the last 2 years. wouldn't be surprising me if he goes and pops up one of these days when I least expect it. The other one to consider is Mixed Message down at the bottom. And that run the other day, I know it wasn't a very auspicious run, but it was after 141 days off. He used to be trained by Ed McMahon and John Mackey, who won over before Brian Ellison got a hold of him. And she ran no sort of race on her return. But as I say, that was after 141 days off. And just looked mildly progressive. And Brian Ellison is using Megan Carberry's £7 claim very effectively. So one to certainly keep an eye on. mixed message, but I do think this is going to go to Life and Times.
Okay, Life and Times then. In the 210, the 310 is the next race that Mick has picked out, and this is a Class 3 handicap over 6 furlongs. And again, another nice size field in 14 of them in the lineup, and we're probably going to get a nice each-way shape to the race.
I hope so, yes. Quite a difficult one to... As three-year-old handicaps invariably are at this time of year, you need to know what's done well from two to three. I think the way that Kenny, the captain, finished off his two-year-old season augurs well for the future. He's a son of Captain Rio Sayre. I've got a lot of time for it. He gets very professional racehorses. He's won three of his last four races. He improved rapidly in the second half of last season. And although he brings a stiffish mark into his three-year-old season, he was... Very progressive when we last saw him. He won his maiden at Newcastle, then picked up a couple of competitive nurseries at Ayr and Doncaster, and comes here back from a break. But he did run well early on last season, so I think he's a horse who comes to hand early. And whatever happens on Tuesday, I think he's a horse to keep a close eye on. Richard Fye's got a couple of runners, Calise, the mount of Tony Hamilton, and Foxy Claret's the mount of Hannigan. Calise, she had a little purple patch. She won her maiden in a nursery at Ripon in August. Then she took on that sales race on her final start, probably biting off more than she'd chew there. But I think might be against her own sex when she comes good. Interesting, Hannigan teaming up with his old boss with Foxy Claret, who still comparatively lightly raced, did go close in a valuable sales race at York. I was there that day, and I thought that was a decent enough run when it's made it to Newcastle. And I think looks off a fair mark, 77, could well turn out to the best of the Fahy pair. And the other one to consider is Aspirant. Sean Levy for riding for Brian Allison. Where's the cheek pieces for the first time? Yet to show much on turf, Aspirant, but he's a son of Rail Link, the arc winner, so no reason why he shouldn't be effective on turf. Bit disconcerting, he was beaten in a Class 6 seller two outings ago, and he is here in Class 3 off a mark of 75. But he's just the sort of horse that this trainer excels with, and... I wouldn't be at all surprised if he makes his presence felt. Wears the tongue tie and the pieces for the first time. And he could be the each way angle. But I do think Kenny the captain is the solid, safest option.
Okay, Kenny the captain. In the 310 then, and the final race we're going to look at is the 415. This is a Class 2 handicap over a mile and a quarter, and a good race to
absolutely get on the first day. The weights are headed by Sinocchian Star, who's got a mark of 97, had a purple patch last year, winning five times, and had a spin at Lingfield in a Lingfield contest 45 days ago, and this is more like it. This is more like his level. But he's yet to win off a mark higher than 91 and just might be vulnerable to something better handicapped on his first start here at Ponte Carlo. Centurious is a model of consistency. Marco Botti trains Luke Morris rides. Only his ninth turf start, but still only that debut maiden win to his name. Paid the price for finishing second in a listed race on his second start. He won his maiden, got a mark of 83. They go and run him in a maiden in a listed race. He finishes a close second. Mark goes up to 97. Is that any wonder that he's never won since?
Yeah.
So, again, the same mark applies. He's vulnerable to something better handicapped. Romantic Settings. Another filly that she won a handicap on a handicap debut off 77. She's in here off 92, but has run well in the 90s, but a very ordinary reappearance only 9 days ago. She's going to have made dramatic improvement in that time. And the fact that Moore's been back is suggesting that she's going to get, punters are going to get sucked into her, but she didn't show enough at Donny for me. So I'm going to look elsewhere, and that's Easy Terms. Now, I did say at the top of the podcast, Mark, that I do like course form here at Pontefract, and she's only been here twice, Easy Terms. She won one of them. She was a close fourth in the other one. She's £3 lower than her last win. She's won off a break before. That's no problem. She won here at Ponte in May after a long absence last May. And I think she's going to be an each-way prize as well. Filmmaking taking the ride for Edwin Chua, whose horses were all wrong. That's why she didn't win last year. His horses were wrong most of the season. But as a result, she's got herself really well handicapped. Mm-hmm. You know, when you look at Centurion, Sinokian Star, etc., she's the handicapped horse in the race, Easy Terms. And she's already shown a liking for Ponte Carlo.
OK, so Easy Terms then in the 4.15. Let's have a quick summary, Mick, if you wouldn't mind spinning us through them one more time.
Yeah, let's hope we can get the Pontefract season off to a winning start. We've got Life and Times in the 2.10. Kenny, the captain, in the 3.10. We might promote him to major if he can win that. And Easy Terms to once again show a liking for the demands of Pontefract in the 4.15.
OK, good stuff. Thank you very much, Mick. Enjoy it on Tuesday.
Will do, Mark. Thank you.
So there you go, the thoughts of Mick Norton on Tuesday's racing, the first fixture of the year at Pontefract. You'll hear it on Racing Radio. Alongside that, we have Carlisle and Southwell and Dave Kellner, Dale Gibson and Darren Owen will be live on Racing Radio from 1:50 p.m. So tune in for all of that. Thank you very much for listening to the William Hill Racing Podcast and enjoy Tuesday's action.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.